Round one, fight!
The Grim Reaper Gamers are a 25 and over gaming community with members spanning the globe, playing games across all genres, but our roots are in first-person shooters. Bring your thick skin, drink of choice, and grab your controller as GRG members are on nightly with official community nights every Wednesday. And now, it's time for the ReaperCast.
Hello there, and welcome to the ReaperCast. It's Jammer. We put Johnny Hustler away, locked him away so he couldn't drone on and on and on and have an hour and 45 minute show. Actually, hopefully John is not feeling well tonight, so hopefully John will be feeling better soon. He's laying on the couch and for some reason didn't think that it would be good for him to be on the microphone, despite what the owner of the website might have thought at the time. We're up to episode 71, and we have just a bunch of different things we're going to get to, and let's see who's with us tonight. And I guess chair number two, how John says or whatever, even though we don't really have numbers on our screen or anything, so I don't know what the fuck he's ever talking about. We have our most friendly person on the site. He's caring. He tries to be there for everybody. He'll game with anybody, and he's always helpful. Lala Calamari, how are you doing? What you drinking, and what have you been playing?
Finally, I get someone to appreciate me. I mean, Johnny always bullies me. Every episode, he insults me and bullies me.
He is a diva.
He is. My understanding is Johnny isn't sick. He's actually playing Destiny so he can review it with full knowledge. So I think he's level 6 at the moment.
I don't think he's that high, actually.
Right now, I am drinking a great beer, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, and they're going down very well. And I'm a little bit sore. I survived the day, took my youngest to play paintball, got my ass shot up. And it was a good time. But what am I playing? And we'll get to the reason why I'm not playing COD in a little bit. But I'm playing Warframe, Fortnite, getting ready for that Battlegrounds to come out. And I'm also waiting for Destiny 2 Iron Banner, the next Iron Banner. Even though I bitched and moaned about the last Iron Banner, I do enjoy the PvP. And I'm looking forward to going back to that, even though I won't get the rewards I want. But it is what it is.
I do want to get to our next chair, but I think you're missing a game. There was something that you might have just recently purchased for $15.
I think I remember purchasing it. I don't know. It was another one of my drunken purchases. I put a little rant on it on the forums. There's a new MMO Skyforge out for the Xbox. We were playing Warframe the other night, and some people jumped in the party. They say it was a great game, and I'm about 8 beers in, and so what's $15? Next day I get it. Oh my god. It's just awful. I mean, I don't know, the combat might be okay, but just the story and the voice acting, I had to uninstall right then. I just couldn't take it.
I couldn't. $15 down the drain. Well, yeah. If you look at the number of times that John has not played even quality games, you're still ahead.
Yes. Yes.
So there. Okay. Well, you know, I just want to make sure I got that in, that you got that game as well. You almost tried to forget about that one.
Yeah, that one. Well, I didn't really play it. Yes, what I'm playing. What I purchased is different.
Well, you did play it last night.
I made that mistake once every few years. I bought Elite Dangerous.
Yeah, that was a few years ago. Yeah.
A few beers in me. Was told it was good. Bought it. What are you going to do?
All right. And then in our third chair, I guess we didn't torture him enough, so we're going to have to do a better job because he actually wanted to come back. Which just means that we're failing at our job. We try and scare people off enough so that they never come back. We just torture ourselves instead. From across the pond, Unobtainables is back. How are you? You're drinking water or soda or whatever, probably, but maybe not. So what you drinking? What are you playing?
Hey, Gemma. Hey, Jack. I'm not drinking soda. I am drinking a cider you've probably never heard of because it's made over here in the UK, Western Cider Flat Tire, and it's cloudy cider with rhubarb, and it actually tastes not that bad. I've not had it before. Bought like a few little cans of different things to try, and yeah, no, it's not bad.
Rhubarb, that's an interesting mix in there.
Yeah, no. As for what I'm playing, well, What I did was I went out and bought myself, well, ages ago, I pre-ordered my Xbox One X Project Scorpio Edition, and it arrived, and I decided I wasn't going to buy any games for it at first because I didn't know quite what I wanted to play. But then when it arrived, I wanted to play something. So, but it comes with like the Game Pass trial thing, like 2 weeks or whatever for Xbox Game Pass. So I just went on and found a load of games on there that I'd not played yet and was interested in and downloaded all of those. So I've been playing Metro Last Light Redux. I've been playing some Mad Max. I played a little bit of Terraria. Probably a few other little bits and pieces, but not much on any one of them. But yeah, just been kind of hopping between some of the single player stuff right now.
All right, on that trial. Cool. Do you have a 4K set as well, or just 1080p right now?
Just 1080p, and I'm a couple of weekends ago, and he had a 4K TV, so I took it with me just because I wanted to show him, because he doesn't have one. He doesn't have an Xbox One X. He's just got the 4K TV. He's got PS4. But just to kind of see what it looked like and to show it off to him as well. And it did look pretty nice, although it was kind of hard to tell. For me, it was hard to tell how much was just a 4K TV anyway and how much of it was how much the console looked better. But it did look good. And I'm in two minds. On the one hand, I kind of want a 4K TV. On the other hand, I can't really afford it, so I could get like a cheap one, but it probably wouldn't look that great, or I could just wait and save money and then buy a nicer one later. That's probably where I'm gonna go.
I just recently listened to our last cast and how I said I was gonna wait for Christmas to get a 4K TV to go with my ex, and then I did a Johnny and I blew that out of the water and already got one. So that's why I'm in the host position tonight, because I figured John lies, so this way now I can lie to the audience as well. I will say the one thing, though, is you're also a staff member here at Grim Reaper Gamers, along with Lala and myself. And I can't speak for Lala, but you got an Xbox. And lo and behold, I'm on the Xbox. And I guess the friend button is not working.
Lost in the mail.
I got lost in the mail or something with the overseas or something. I don't know about you, Lala, but something happened in the transition across the pond there.
I got one.
I think.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay. Well, you're a high roller.
I added a whole bunch of people way back when on my Xbox 360, and then because I thought at one point there was some backwards compatible games, but we just never got around to it. And I wanted to see if the party would work at one point, like the party chat and stuff, but.
So basically, you chose which admins you like and then which admins you don't like is really what you did.
He saw your KDR and yeah, well, I don't blame him.
Yeah, I did some background research and chose which clan members to add.
Yeah, you went with the MLG squad. Just don't let Lala work the menus because he's potato mode with that. He can't ever figure out the menus. All right, well, it's good to have you on again. We'll try and make this as painful as possible so that way you say, I'll never do it again. Looking forward to that. You know, I always go through, Johnny's got his host spiel every time when he hosts a show and probably has notes and all the shit, which I never do. Make sure you're checking out our main page on our website at GrimReaperGamers.com with our calendar. We have events coming up. Actually, tonight there's a Battlefront night going on that Digital and I normally are hosting, but obviously I'm here and not there. But we are recording earlier. I might be able to join tonight. We have some COD nights on Mondays as well. There's other events sprinkled throughout. Wednesday, of course, is our community night. For the most part, as long as things work well, we go to Call of Duty and have private matches, and we don't care about ranking that night. We just want to bullshit with everybody, and it's always a great time. You never know who's going to be on and which one of us will have drank too much. Most likely it's Gunny, but we have a great time with that. The key is, if you're looking to game with people, you don't want to game alone, check the forums out, check the main page, make a post in the forums. A lot of times we'll have like looking for game posts for each day. Post in there what you're playing. Maybe somebody else will say, hey, I'll do that with you too, and then you're not gaming alone. So always check the forums, always check the calendar, and Wednesday night's always community night as well. Jack, do you have anything to go off of that before I go to the next?
Yeah, I actually do. For the LFG post, don't wait for what the staff is picking. So if you're playing like My Pretty Pony, throw it up there. I guarantee that we're gonna have somebody else that plays that same game that you're looking to play. So if you want to play something different, don't just follow suit and wait for an admin or a staff member to post it. Just throw it out there, and I'm sure you'll get hits on it. The other thing was Gunny being drunk for Call of Duty. How many beers of Coors Light do you have to drink before you actually get technically drunk?
At his age or a normal person?
Well, yeah, I guess his age. He's like dog years, right? Like
yes.
7 years in Gunny's life is. But just the one thing I want to talk about was the Call of Duty tournament coming up the 29th. We're looking to host one for the Xbox and the PS4 side. I'm not sure how we're going to handle it now. I think it may be free-for-all games, and we'll come up with some classic game modes, some GRG special game modes to add in there. So make sure you check the forums out, sign up. We need people signing up for that, and we'll get some teams. Or if you have enough people for teams, we'll run teams. If not, we're going to run free-for-all.
Always a good time when we get together, especially in those private match settings. But any game whatsoever, you know, you get a couple of GRG guys, it's way better than sitting in random, playing randoms on multiplayer and just having party chat muted all the time. It's good to just hang out and get to know guys. And feel free, if you're new, jump in. I mean, don't wait for somebody to invite you. Just jump on in. Everybody here is very welcoming, and you'll be just part of the group before you know it, even if you're a new person here. One more site related thing is we do want to congratulate, I guess, Scuba Steve, who is added to the PlayStation 4 team lead side, along with Unobtainable. So he's going to help get some action going on that side and organize some events. But congratulations to him on his promotion. Most people generally cry about it, but so far he seems excited about it.
Well, I did warn him. So I did warn him. I said if he kept up his activity and his post level, I'm going to demote him to staff. And he just kept on doing it. So that's what he gets.
We're mainly pretty stupid about it. So that's all the stuff. Yeah, make sure you visit GrimReaperGamers.com. Get on the forums, forums.GrimReaperGamers.com. It's not just gaming talk. You know, we talk shows, television shows in there, movies and all that stuff. Walking Dead, which actually nobody commented on last night's episode, which is odd. Star Trek Discovery, the best show on the planet, The Orville. You know, you name it. It's we talk about it. So it's not just gaming talk, even though we're Grim Reaper gamers. So let's move on now. I'm not sure if Lala's rant is going to be about some people on staff thinking they get sick time. When they're not feeling well, they think they can call out and not be available. I'm not sure quite what it is, but Lala, do you have a rant for us?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure who approved his sick time. I got to talk to HR about this. I do have a rant, and it's a pretty big one. So Call of Duty World War II comes out, all excited to play, and guess what? It fails. It fails that weekend. It fails. It's still failing. Is it that hard now to have a game come out at launch and actually work? So we're what, a couple weeks into Call of Duty World War II, and we still have issues. The headquarters at first didn't work for 2 days, so you couldn't even get matchmaking going. Now you don't have the 48-player lobbies. We're back to just a solo headquarters, which I don't really give a shit about too much. But still, I mean, it's something they promised we're going to have working, and it does not work. When you have a party for multiplayer, after each round, the party, they get black screens after each round. So they can't see what the score was. They can't go and edit weapons. They can't change out weapons, anything like that. They're stuck at a black screen. That has been going on since launch. They stopped dedicated servers for a week or so. You still have lag and rubber banding going on in matches. And this is unacceptable. I mean, this is not the first Call of Duty title out there. They haven't changed the game engine. They haven't changed the network code. It's almost similar to what came out with Modern Warfare 1. This isn't the first title they released. How do they fail so badly and release a game like this? And how does this continue to happen with games? I mean, why does this happen? And it's maddening. I'm at the point now where it's not even worth buying a game on release. You know, give it a few weeks, a month or so, see how it shakes out, if they can fix it, if it'll work. And I'm just sick of it. I'm pissed off at Call of Duty. I actually really, really like this edition. I love, the World War II. I think the kill streaks are balanced. I think the game mode's fun. I was enjoying it. The beta was great. I went whole hog in, which I said I would stop buying DLC. I bought the damn DLC like an idiot, and they fucked me over, and the game's broken. And I'm just sick of it. So anyway, that's my bitch. That's my rant for the this episode and whatever. That, I'm not playing Call of Duty. I'm waiting until they sort this shit out.
So basically, you're not playing it anymore.
I actually haven't played it in over a week at all. Well, like,
this kind of ties into one of our news items. So we're gonna go into that. Is that the multiplayer seems to be getting worse. Like they're updating it, but it seems that there's been more problems caused with each update than the previous version. So they fix something, and then I mean, our private matches last Wednesday night. I'm not good, but I unloaded a clip into somebody who was running towards me, and then he ran through me like he was a ghost. And it was maddening. And that was my last night, my match of the night. I couldn't do it after that.
I'm not with
the lag.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what they're doing with this. I was assuming, you know, since there's no dedicated servers and it's peer to peer, which Call of Duty always has been.
That's always been a problem.
And we've hosted Call of Duty nights every Wednesday night for so many years. And it's always been fine. I mean, you'll get an occasional match that'll just suck. But for the most part, you know, the private matches work fine. I don't know what, I guess maybe private matches are on the back burner. I don't know what's going on because I was hosting it. I have a 75-75 connection up and down, a Fios connection with an open NAT. Everybody's red bar. And this was not a problem we've seen before we played the other titles. We didn't have this problem. But you're watching people stutter step and teleport around the map. And it's just inexcusable. It's horrible because we're getting full lobbies of private matches. So there's 18 players in there, and we can't get it off. And it's very frustrating because I was excited to get a game that people are interested in, get community nights going again, relive the stuff that we used to do, the private matches where we get in, we talk about each other's moms, drink some beers, and just have a good time. It's aggravating. I think we, after one game, half the party got disbanded and they couldn't get back in. It was just a nightmare. Very upsetting.
Yeah, I had connection problems and I finally got in last week and it was a little bit frustrating. And I want to ask Unobtained a question, actually. You have the game, right? On PlayStation or no?
No.
Well, it's still a good question I want to ask. It's more of a gaming question because it was something that Lala said, and I want to get your opinion on it. Mm-hmm. Is he said he's not sure if private matches are on the back burner. And I'm wondering this is an overall question. In today's gaming society, where rank unlocks are what everybody's focus is all the time, and that private match has really kind of disappeared because people don't have interest in not gaining rank. So do you think games still even really care about private matches, or they just throw that in the back end because it's always been there?
You mean like the developers and the publishers, like, yes, whether or not they include the mode? I don't know. I guess in a way, from their perspective, it's a good way to keep the game going. Like if you consider Halo, just for an example, their whole Forge mode and the whole private match angle was hugely popular for them, and that I would say that alone almost maybe that with the whole co-op campaign, because people love replaying that through as well. Like I'm going back to like a Halo 3 and stuff here, maybe Halo 2, but the Forge mode and the private matches and the custom matches was what kept that game alive in terms of the online playing for years after it had been released. That was really what kept it going. But, you know, needing to have that in the game right at the off is not necessarily, you know, maybe not required straight away, but I think I think they should put those kind of things in, at least for those, you know, like FPS type titles, because it really can build it, really can keep it going, keep it in the news, keep it popular, keep, you know, the marketing buzz around it, obviously keep sales going for the same reasons, especially when coupled with things like, yeah, you know, level designers and being able to fine tune your own matches, as well as it just being a private match in the first place. But I don't know, you don't see it so much, do you? That along with split screen local co-op, those just seem to be less often in games these days, for whatever reasons.
And I wonder if it's a society thing now where everybody's just always focused that, well, if I play private match, I can't unlock these guns. And if I play private match, I can't get closer to prestige. And I can't gain my XP to get to the next level. And that began to me, really, with Modern Warfare. I remember, I think it was the first Rainbow Six Vegas. Even when you played the single player, you gained XP that was tied all together. And what was great about that is that you could focus wherever you wanted and you still were working towards a goal. I understand them locking it down in a private match because assholes out there were going to take advantage of it and gain XP by, you know, one team lays down while the other team doesn't or whatever. But they've really, that focus has kind of killed private matches, don't you think, Jack?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen it right from the start with Call of Duty. And it was amazing. Like, they wouldn't even be able to, or once they introduced prestige was really when it took off, because people could easily get, like in Modern Warfare 1, you get to 55 quickly. But once you get to the other Call of Duties where they introduce prestige, we can re-rank over and over again, people are all fanatical about that. And I'm like, you know, what do you need to play that extra night for and miss out on a clan night, a community night? Like, people never, they got away from it. The desire to upgrade that equipment was more important. Now, I do know that Call of Duty World War II offers local play or LAN play, which is nice. And I'm wondering if they put that in just for esports, they can start something with that. Because I notice a lot of games don't have LAN play, and I'm not quite sure how esport games work without it.
We need Johnny here for that because he pays attention to Twitch and that shit.
Well, he only watches Mommy Gamers or whatever.
The Mommy Gamers, yes. He loves that Mommy Gamers. Mm. Should have been here. Could defend yourself. All right. Well, that's enough of our. What's interesting is actually I listened to our last podcast, and you know the game had just been out for a few days, and things were working after the first day, normal first day hiccup, and we were very positive. And then it just seems like the shit has gotten worse over the past 2 weeks than 2 weeks ago when we did the cast.
Yeah, it's actually kind of crazy when you think about it. You had stuff that was working, and then they introduced a patch, and it breaks more things or didn't fix what they were working on, or dedicated servers were out initially and then it failed, and then it took them a good week or so to kick them back in. I'm not quite sure what they're doing, and I don't understand. I guess they've created Call of Duty games before, and they're not really creating new software to run it. What's going on there? So I don't know. It's a big disappointment when the game's actually pretty good if it works.
All right, so let's move on. And I don't know if this was a U.S. only promotion, and unobtained. If it wasn't, let me know. Over the weekend here, especially during the football games yesterday, I saw Overwatch ran a free weekend. I think it was the 17th through the 20th, which we're recording on right now. And I was just wondering what do you think they were doing there, Lala, with that move? Trying to get game sales for the holidays?
Yeah, well, usually I don't watch commercials. I have DVR and skip past them. But I was watching the Eagles completely destroy the Cowboys. So I know the Cowboy fans didn't see this ad because they're all cockroach fans. And they ran. Well, as soon as they started losing, they went into hiding. But, I'm watching the game. And the next thing you know, Overwatch kicks on. Overwatch commercial kicks on. And I'm thinking to myself, this game's, what, a year and a half old? And doing commercials for it, like, who's buying this game now? And it was just, I thought it was kind of odd. It's not even in the top 25 games sold in October. So what are they thinking? They're all of a sudden going to put an ad out before Christmas and people are going to buy the game? But I guess my biggest question with it was, how much are these ads costing them? I mean, advertising for like a primetime football game, how much does that cost for a commercial? And they were throwing that all over the place. How do you get that money back? You're not selling the games. Well, I guess we'll see in November, see what the game sales are. But like in October, they weren't even in top 25. And two games that are old that were in there were GTA 5 and Rainbow Six Siege, which I don't see them doing the commercials that Overwatch was running. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting point.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell you, I'm talking about moving on the fly. I normally make this shit up as I go anyway. But as you're talking to me, my computer screens went completely black, even though I'm still on the air. So now my agenda is going to be even more fun until I can get my screen back up. But right now I'm looking at black. So the good side of it is I can't see either of your faces. So it's a much more pleasant experience for me. But I am a professional hustler, and I will go on, black screens or not.
Is this episode?
Do you feel like it's just like the post screen after a Call of Duty game?
Yeah, I think Call of Duty heard me bitching them out, and they're paying back by now me getting black screens. Oh, and it's back. Call of Duty's playing with my screens. So let's move on now that I had that little fun. I should have done the
episode 10.
Episode 10 where I should have gone, Uh-oh. Whoops. I should have done that and paused. But as everybody knows, when I'm on the cast, no matter what happens, I will tell everybody, like if somebody goes to get a bag of celery or anything. Let's go on to news. The next one is Netflix keeps pushing out those Marvel products, and The Punisher was released. I have not seen it. I don't know if it's available in the UK or not on Obtain.
Yep.
Is it? Okay. Yep. I don't know. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay. I know Lala's seen some of it without spoiling or whatever. How does it stand up compared to the other Marvel shows they've done?
I'm in the middle of episode 8 at the moment, so I'm about a little past halfway. And I'm enjoying it so far. It's definitely a little bit grittier in the Marvel universe. I mean, obviously, Punisher's not Jessica Jones. Like, he's a mean son of a bitch. I'm just at the point where I guess we need to see a little bit more Punisher. They're doing a lot of backstory, a lot of, intro to the villains and whatnot. But the one thing I did notice is everybody is eating. And they do it in such an odd way. It's such an overacting, pronounced way of eating. And it drives me freaking nuts. It's like this pet peeve I'm having watching the show, and you just see, like, you know, the Punisher, he cuts open a can of beans and he just dips his knife in there, eating them off there, and it's his facial expressions while he's doing it. It's like it's so cartoony, it's ridiculous. And then Micro, the guy, his sidekick, the computer guy, he's eating something, and another scene, it's always somebody eating. It's just drives me freaking bananas.
Could it be like an inner joke, like Breaking Bad? That's one of the funny things, is breakfast at Walter's house all the time with Walt Jr. always coming out, and they're making eggs and all that stuff. Could there be some tie to some inner joke there with food?
I don't know, because it is nonstop and it cracks me up.
That's something Breaking Bad fans joke about all the time, is all the times they're eating breakfast, you know, when Walt Jr. comes out and they make eggs or whatever. So that's why I was just wondering with that. But only you would pick up on them eating beans, and that'd be your problem.
It's like the only thing that grinds my gears. And
I don't know. I really hate to be your doctor checking your blood pressure. I don't even want to.
Oh, I know. I admit it's the most ridiculous thing. But then, like, you know, I'm watching him, and it's because he's so pronounced when he does it, and his facial expressions is crazy. And then next thing you know, the other guy's doing it, and he's like, he's pausing when he's talking so he can chomp on something or do something. I'm like, oh, just enough already. Can we stop with fucking eating? I mean, these guys eat nonstop. And then the other people are all eating. It's just whatever. It's the one thing I noticed. Other than that, actually, episode 8 and so far, I'm actually really, really enjoying the show. And, I look forward to finishing out. Hopefully, it finishes strong.
How is it on a gruesome level?
It's typical violence, a couple gunshots. Nothing like you see someone's head blown in half, but you'll see, like, the, you know, headshots and blood spatter. So it hasn't gotten super nasty yet. But then again, like I said, he hasn't had any major, major battles. Like he's, you know, they show people get shot and beat up, but nothing.
Aren't you like at least halfway through?
No, yeah. There's 13 episodes. I mean, it's like typical, like the fighting. It's like the fighting you would see from Daredevil. And, you know, people get shot. It's just not like limbs are flying off or. Well, there was one scene where they had that, but.
All right. Well, I do want to put a disclaimer on here that this is Lala's opinion, which, as we know, with War for the Planet of the Apes or whatever the hell that movie was that he said sucked, that tomato score was 93. Please take it with a grain of salt anytime he gives a review, because he's generally not in the majority of anything.
Well, I'm a little critical and stuff. I'm enjoying this one. I didn't expect it to be overly violent, like gruesome. I mean, I'm enjoying it. Like there's action there. The people are getting shot, people are getting beat up, and I enjoy it. And War for the Planet of the Apes is the worst movie I have ever seen in my life, hands down.
Talking about good movies, it's not even on here, so I'm going to throw you both off, because I don't even know if you saw, either of you have seen it, but the teaser trailer for Deadpool 2 with him as the painter dude there was pretty freaking awesome.
Bob Ross.
Yeah, Bob Ross there. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's just hilarious.
That was good.
So, his love of cocaine and everything else and whacking it. So that's quality stuff there. It's just Ryan Reynolds really knows that character well and just kind of gets it. So if you haven't checked out the Deadpool 2 teaser trailer. You probably should check out The Punisher, because you probably like it way better than Lala does.
I said I like the show. And as far as like Ryan Reynolds, I mean, Deadpool, I think he kind of sucks in that. I kind of liked him better in Green Lantern.
You're going to go with that. See, you can't, that's just troll move right there. See, he can't even say that one with a straight face, but what's scary about you is because you so often are so against things that people like fun, that I wouldn't have been shocked if you said you didn't like Deadpool, because that's just right up your alley.
I enjoyed Deadpool, but I know I didn't enjoy as much as all you people did. I'm not that same level. I'm so tired and done, and I think the superhero movies are oversaturated, so I'm just past it. I did enjoy it. I liked it, but I'll wait till it comes out on Netflix or whatever.
Your poor children. Poor children.
Well, they just all wanted right. to see what's the Justice League? And my youngest is a huge DC fan. He loves The Flash on TV. And he's all into DC. Yeah, and he was even like, meh.
Well, the only important scenes are the ones where Superman sucks.
Jack's defense, The Punisher has got a 9.2 on IMDb.
Okay. All right, so he might actually agree with people for once.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it happens occasionally. Normally, it's like the complete opposite. Anyway, moving on. PUBG, I'm going to go to Unobtain on this and let you talk about it. They put their, quote, hackers into a hacker-only matchmaking queue. Hacking has kind of become a problem with PUBG in the PC world. I think some of the PC players are looking for that Xbox release to get away from that. What do you have on that, Unobtain?
Yeah, so I don't know if there's actually been any official comment from Bluehole. I don't think there have been. And this kind of started, as it often does these days, with some comments on a subreddit between some Reddit users who, I think their comments got picked up elsewhere on Reddit. So originally the guys were talking about, a couple of them were cheating or hacking, and they were talking about it between themselves and saying about they'd noticed that, you know, they were taking longer to matchmake. And then a few of them noticed that when they were matchmaking in games, they seemed to be playing against other hackers or cheaters because, you know, they were getting things that seemed to be like aimbots or, you know, guys killing them when they couldn't see them around or whatever else, you know, the usual kind of hints you get that someone might be cheating somewhere. And then, you know, then they all kind of, or some of them started like looking for it and started like making notes on it and kind of commenting on how often it was happening to them and when they were seeing it. And they all kind of started to see this trend. So I think that got picked up elsewhere on Reddit by some other people being like, oh, good. You know, these guys are all cheating and basically they seem to be getting their just desserts because they're all, you know, seemingly getting matched against other cheaters. And because Bluehole before has just out and out banned people. And they haven't, again, as far as I know, haven't made any comments that they would do something like this. But equally, it kind of makes sense, at least maybe as an interim solution or for like, you know, some bad behavior until you get banned. This is what happens to you. Because, I mean, I know I've heard stories of some of the biggest streamers, if they get banned for whatever they're doing, you know, maybe it's not like out and out hacking or anything like that. Maybe it's just something smaller, like collaborating with someone else when it's meant to be a solo game or whatever, but they're doing something that breaks the rules and they get banned. Well, they just go and create another account and buy the game again because it's, you know what, 20, 30, 40 quid. They don't care. They're making stupid amounts. So they can just, you know, and that's nothing to them. So banning people isn't necessarily just getting them out altogether. Whereas if you do something like this, some kind of almost shadow ban type thing, where they, especially when they don't even know it's happening to them or they don't figure it out straight away, then you're kind of taking those toxic players and putting them in their own little space. And you know, letting the people who aren't doing anything like that, having the freedom of playing against other people who, again, haven't yet proven that they're doing the same thing. And I think even GTA 5 might do something like this with its online play as well, where, again, if you're killing other players a lot or griefing or I don't know how it detects it, but again, you kind of get pushed into the lobbies with the other people that are doing the same.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. I mean, the good thing I could say is if you ever look at my stats, you would know I'm not hacking. that's one good. I can show that I'm never a cheater just by looking at my stats alone. It kind of, in a sense, it's not a bad idea because it puts them in their own little playground, you know, where they can go ahead with that.
And gives them what they deserve. I mean, I never understand why people would want to go through the trouble of actually hacking in a game. I mean, the whole point is play to see if you're any good. So when you're using wall hacks or whatever, I don't know. I can't even understand the logic behind it. I remember in Counter-Strike back when I played it forever ago, they would have skins on there that you could replace the character models with these skins, with these spikes that would stick out like so far, like 10 feet. So if somebody was hiding behind a wall, the spike would stick through the wall so they'd know where that player was. And there was wall hacks and whatever else. And I just could never fathom why someone would actually go through all the trouble to do that. Like, I don't know. I guess, you know, geek points don't really matter to me. I don't get it. And so now let them be together in their little Hackfest world and they can all cry bullshit because everyone's got aimbots on it and leave the rest of us alone.
Yeah, unfortunately, they probably will figure out some way to get out of that, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
But speaking of Reddit, which is a place that I will happily admit, I do not go to Reddit. And I'm proud to admit that I do not go to Reddit because holy shit. But there seemed to be just a little bit of Reddit activity about Star Wars Battlefront 2, which came out officially for everybody on Friday, which was the 17th. It was early access for some people that paid for a different edition on the 14th. And then there was the EA access trial for 10 hours. So some people have been playing it for about a week and a half now, and there was obviously the complaints about the microtransactions and progression levels and everything, and EA tried to explain their position on it, and boy, did Reddit explode, being the most downvoted thing in Reddit's history, which considering some of the scum of things that are discussed on Reddit, that's saying something. But people went after EA hard and made them do a bunch of different reactions, which we can get into in discussion. First off, how do you guys feel on how the internet now treats games and things in general? Not just Battlefront here, because people, they had a right to be upset about microtransactions and what the initial progression system was going to be. But as we all know, there are people out there that are going to jump all over something just to shit on it, whether they even care about it or not. So how do you think, like, as a publisher, how do you deal today with people in, like, Reddit?
Well, we stopped recruiting from Reddit, so that kind of explains what we think. Reddit's an interesting place. It's the problem there is the hive mind mentality, and once that hive mind determines their stance, there's no way to come back or change that. I noticed this on, as I said earlier, I played paintball with my son over the weekend, so I belong to some paintball subreddits on Reddit, obviously. And the hive mind mentality there is so strong, you can't get a valid opinion on something, on equipment or whatever. It's just, it's this way or it is. You're a dumbass, you're doing it wrong. This is incorrect, and that's not necessarily the point. That's one of the reasons why I belong to Facebook. I still keep Facebook because there's some groups there that are heavily moderated and have a more intelligent discussion, which is scary. People on Facebook are having a more intelligent discussion than Reddit, but I mean, people actually talk things through, where Reddit, you get to these subreddits, and there's one hive mind mentality. The worst offender is the MMORGP one. So you think that they would discuss all the MMOs out there. There is not a single one that is good if you read any of their posts. Like, every single one sucks and you shouldn't be playing it. And you can't get a valid opinion. And it's just rough. So Reddit's a tough crowd. And the fact that EA decided they were going to try to sway their opinion, that was just a foolish thing for them to try to even do. They should have just never even have done an AMA for them. Ask me anything.
Now we're coming up from the perspective of being Americans here, but is that the same feel over in Europe with that hive mind mentality? Does that play as much over, say, where you are comparatively to what we deal with in the States with that?
Yeah, no, I think it does. I think it's not just Reddit. I mean, Reddit is a good example of it, but you can definitely see it there. And like Jack was saying, it doesn't even need to be anything big. It can be a comment for some random guy about some tiny little thing. And, you know, if I don't know what it is, if there's a, enough people that disagree with him, or if it's not, if it's against the status quo that was established by who knows when or why or however long ago. But, you know, you could just get downvoted for your own opinion. It doesn't even need to be a contentious opinion, and that can be the end of it. But it's not just Reddit. It's more, you know, evolution of technology, I think, to an extent. The social media platforms themselves, like Twitter, you know, you can just... You can have a tweet for some developer or publisher, or it doesn't even need to be related to gaming, but, you know, that's what we're talking about here. But coming out with something, and within seconds, they've just got people responding back directly to them, saying everything from, you know, like a nice compliment all the way through to just like utter vitriol, just spewing hate at them, like the worst insults they wouldn't say to anyone that they knew, presumably wouldn't say, I don't know these people, but some of them just the stuff that they come out with. I don't know why it is. Like if they normally think those things and now they've got the freedom to say them, but you know, whatever it is, that hive mind, that group mentality, that mob mentality, maybe it can just sway in any which direction. And as soon as there's enough mass to it, it seems difficult to stop. And it's, you know, almost feels like the negativity and, you know, the aggression almost there in their words, at least, just seems to breed like for like. And yeah, by that point, you know, anyone trying to calm it down or disagree or say, well, actually, it's not so bad, just, you know, gets ignored, it gets downvoted, it gets hidden, it gets buried. And you don't see that. You don't see the ones that, you know, are disagreeing with that group mentality.
Yeah, so EA had this post where they tried to explain it, and I don't think any company should ever try and go into those depths, because it's a no-win PR situation. And I'm not defending what they initially did. What basically they were, you could buy crystals that helped you gain points for credits for progression. Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker were locked behind walls that were going to take significant amount of time to unlock them. So people were mad about that. I think somebody did the math that it was like 40 hours of play time just to unlock one character, which seems extreme. So after all of the PR hits that ER was taking, and it was massive, the amount of PR, bad PR that they were receiving. And let's face it, it's EA. As soon as anything's done by EA, tends to be bad feedback. People have that ingrained opinion about EA, and for rightful reasons for what they've done, but people are already going to hate just because it's an EA thing. So EA came out, they reduced their cost by 75%. That was the first step. And then eventually they kind of removed the microtransactions. The progression system is still in place where it's kind of a random number generator with cards. So they tried to make amends, and it seems that some of the reports that are out there is that Big Brother Disney, who obviously has a movie coming out on December 15th, did not like negative feedback coming back on the Star Wars franchise. So let's talk about what you think with Disney stepping in and trying to fix this problem.
Well, first of all, I mean, like, just talking about like the amount of hours unlocked Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker, the whole reason you bought this game was to play as those characters. Like, who doesn't want to play Battlefront as Darth Vader going around choking people out? And it amazes me that, I don't know, they put that kind of time restriction on it. You know, I think obviously Disney saw, like, you know, oh my God, you know, we have this universe, we got this game, games make so much money, and EA's blowing it for them. Like, you're going to go and screw it all up, and we're not going to generate the amount of revenue that we should from this. I mean, really, I mean, you're thinking, like, what are games making now? Like 400 million, 500 million. I mean, some of these games make ridiculous amounts of money, more than movies. And Disney saw that and saw those numbers were going to drop significantly over this reaction. And I think it's going to. I think they're going to have a big hit with this. I think gamers are just so sick and tired of it. The microtransactions have just really gone to the breaking point. And this is a game I would have bought, and I was all set to buy it. And even my 17-year-old kid's like, no, he's like, it's just out of control. We're done. And so we passed on it, and I won't buy it. And I think it's important that gamers stick together on this, not buy this game, and show other game developers that microtransactions, hiding content behind, you know, a paywall, is not what the gamers want. When I'm paying $60 for a game, I want to have that game, you know, pretty much in hand. I don't want to have to buy microtransactions. The actual microtransactions they implemented for this game is very similar to some free-to-play games. I mean, they pretty much carbon copied that whole microtransaction system. And it's just a shame. And now you have game developers out there, the CD Projekt Red, they're making the Cyberpunk 2077. They're like, we're not doing this. We're not hiding shit behind the microtransactions. So what you get, what you pay for is what you get. And in their tweet, they said, we leave greed to others. So it's, I hope that these game developers are paying attention to what happened with EA, and they're going to file a suit as, you know, what's this company? The CD Projekt Red. And they're just going to abandon that practice. It needs to stop. It can't continue that way. So the DLC and these microtransactions, they need to find a better way to work it.
Well, and that brings us to another question on this game now, is that, and Unobtained, now that they basically, their planned revenue stream was to offer free DLC, and they were going to make money based off of this other way with microtransactions. Is this going to affect now their DLC plans now that their revenue stream has changed?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, the first DLC comes out on 13th of December.
Right before the movie.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's what, like 2 days before it, I think, at least here by UK dates.
December 15th here as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, at least for this first DLC, I can't see them changing anything, especially if Disney have already got involved and kind of said, you know, we need to call it on the bad PR right before the film comes out at the very least. You know, wait till after Christmas, wait till all the sales, wait till everyone's bought the game. Then we can throw the MTX back in, screw everyone over, it'll be too late. They can complain all they like. They've already paid the money for us. That's the very cynical part of me says that's what they're going to do. Maybe they'll change the model. No one knows how they're going to do it until it's actually done. And by that point, if you've already bought the game, then you've already bought into it, haven't you? So even if you try and sell it on or you know, send it, take it back to the store or whatever, you know, you've already paid your money. That's already gone through. So by that point, it's not really their loss anymore. So that's what the cynical part of me at least says. Whether they'll change the future DLC, I don't know. I'm not even sure if they've decided that yet. I think they were probably a bit surprised by the negative backlash over all of this. But I think Jack's right. They haven't just done the microtransaction stuff. We've clearly seen that coming into games over at least this year, you know, in a kind of stepping it up in terms of how much they're bringing in, etc., and how much it's more in your face and stuff, rather than just, you know, start off as the cosmetic items. Most people were okay with that. Then it started to like push its way into the multiplayer a little bit. You know, now you're seeing games where it's coming into the single player even, and other things that free to play do, like in Star Wars Battlefront 2, in the arcade mode, you can earn, I don't know what it is, the currency or the loot boxes or the credits, whatever, currency, whichever one of several currencies. But there's a limit to the amount you can unlock in a certain period of time before it kind of locks you out and says, you've earned enough for today. Now you have to wait so many hours until you can earn more. That's straight out of a free-to-play game. It would almost have been better if you couldn't earn them through the arcade mode, and they'd said arcade mode's, you know, separate. It's a sandbox. It's messing around or whatever. It's challenges for fun. Mm-hmm. That I think would have been more palatable. But yeah, you know, when you make it, especially when you kind of cookie cutter and take the free to play model and try to bring that in, I think that just really makes it obvious what you're doing. But I also, I don't know, you can't really see microtransactions leaving anytime soon. Not least with the amount of money they're making from it. So whether or not they're going to take it out, I don't know. But having said that, there have been a couple of kind of articles talking about sales being down, at least the physical sales being down, can, like, in terms of how long since the release date in comparison to both Star Wars Battlefront and to Battlefield 1 from last year. Like 50%, like around those kind of numbers, 50, 60% down. I think 60 for Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 50% versus Battlefield 1. So.
Yeah, and I don't think they'll have the balls. I mean, after all this negative feedback, to then bring back their little crystals or whatever, unless it's just cosmetic, I can't see how they could ever put it back in. Now, I will say, I'll move on briefly here, and I have the game. And I had fun in the game, and I do have fun in the game, and I would play the multiplayer in that game solo without my friends over Call of Duty any day. It's much more enjoyable for me. Shit, it's a perfect game for me and Johnny because you get battle points, which is a score. You get them even when you die. You get 100 points. Well, now I have a star card that upgrades that, but so I get 105 points every time I die. And the scoreboard shows how many people I've eliminated. It doesn't even show how many times I die. So for people that suck, it's like, hello, this is my game. I get points for dying, and it doesn't show you how many times I died. So everybody else doesn't look at me on the scoreboard and say, you fucking suck. So that being said, I'm having a lot of fun in the game. I do think that they had a right to be pissed about the microtransactions and the 60,000 credits for each of those characters were a little ridiculous. Though, to be honest, Digital has played the game as well, and Darth Maul is way more fun to play than Vader is in the game itself. Basically, the first Battlefront, they had those little pieces on the map, and you had to run over them, and then you would become a hero or whatever. Now you have to spend your points you earn in the game to use your character. So depending on the level of your character, it could be 1,000 credits. It could be, you know, Chewbacca's like 2,000 credits or whatever. They can't have more than one of them out at a time. So they've done a lot of things to make the game better and improve upon what they had in the first game. It's still more of a casual shooter to me comparatively to Call of Duty, but that's more my type of game. The progression system that people have complained about is also a very valid point. But on the other side, with these star cards and everything, I can honestly say, and once I say it all the time on here, I'm not good at shooters. And I have never once in that game felt owned by anybody that had 3 star cards and all this shit unlocked that I haven't had unlocked yet. So there is still a balance there. It doesn't OP certain players that have put more money. Well, at the time, they would have put more money into it, but that have unlocked more loot crates and everything. You still can succeed in the game regardless on your playing time and how many of those damn cards you've unlocked. You can still have a good time. So I do think that people, because of all these problems, people shit on the game and have an opinion that this game sucks, and they never even tried it to even know if it's fun. And that's a difficult thing when you have people shitting on something, and I'm like, you just read shit on the internet and never even tried the game. How can you know if the game is a piece of shit or not?
I tried the beta or the demo, whatever they had beforehand, and I don't know. I actually kind of enjoyed playing it. I thought it was a gorgeous looking game, sounds great, and I had fun playing. I was all set to order it, and then this whole thing blew up, and so I decided that I was going to side with the angry gamers and not pay them for this nonsense. I think this issue isn't solely a Battlefront 2 issue or an EA issue. I think it's just gamers in general are getting tired of these companies keep trying to weasel out more money and change the way the games are. And this microtransactions is just pushing people away. And it just happened to be something that was so extreme. It happened to be EA. It was a perfect catalyst for this whole thing to just blow up. And that's what happened. So I think people are against microtransactions for a long time. But now that EA did it, and they did it in such a terrible way, it was a mushroom cloud, blew up, and that's that. And I think, you know, they're going to suffer for this. Hopefully they're going to learn a lesson, and other developers are going to pay attention to it. And it's a shame because, like I said, the stuff I was playing, I really kind of enjoyed it, and I really wanted to play it. It was gorgeous looking.
I have a lot of fun playing it. I'm glad I purchased it. And I do wish people would now see that they've made these changes. Yes, they had to because people were killing them over it, but now give the game a chance now that they've made these changes. They didn't stick to their guns and do it. And I will tell you that anybody that I, at least in our community, that has played the game says it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to get over the Reddit hate on it.
Oh, sure. Well, I think maybe when it drops down, like in December, when they start like really suffering, I expect to see this game on sale for like $35. And then that might be a good drunken night purchase. So especially if they can do it digitally, discount the digital. So if EA, if you're listening, can you just do that? They could have handled microtransactions so much better. Like introduce just different skins, like make like a Chrome Vader skin, or you know him wearing like a kilt or some crazy shit like that. Different color, like rainbow lightsabers or some nonsense. People would buy that. They would get that money that way, and would have no effect on anybody else.
I would never have a problem. I don't have any problem ever with cosmetic microtransactions.
And it would sell. Like, who wouldn't want to have a chrome Darth Vader? Just for instance, you know? I mean, like, that would probably be, or Boba Fett that was, you know, all chrome, like shiny gold chrome colored. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I saw a comment about that, and it hadn't even occurred to me before, but I think that was the best idea I'd seen for, instead of all this rubbish they've got, exactly that, doing the cosmetics. Because they were pointing out, they were like, you know, between the films, between the books, between whatever else, like media they've already got out there, there's clearly so many different outfits that they wouldn't even need to dream up that they could have sold as separate skins. And we already know, like, you know, the majority of gamers don't care about that kind of thing being behind loot boxes or microtransactions or whatever you want, because we know it doesn't affect gameplay. So it's purely if you want it that, you know, we don't mind that model. And it just seemed like it would have fitted in so nicely. It would have been so easy for them to implement that. I really, you know, just, I can't help but feel like they just got greedy with what they wanted to try and implement.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, they overreached. But I think probably the only issue with the skins is Disney would be like all over their shit to make sure it matched perfect. Yeah. Star Wars canon.
Well, the one funny thing I take out of all this, and we'll wrap up here in a second, is that Disney, I mean, they got to protect their franchise. Disney does it right. Disney, you spend money on Disney left and right. If you go to Disney World or anything, they make it enjoyable as they steal your money. Like, they make it so you're smiling as you give them ridiculous amounts of money for their product. And they're pulling all their shit out of Netflix to start their own streaming service. I mean, obviously, they're not for the people. They want to make money. They're a company. And I think sometimes people forget that companies, that their drive isn't because they care about you. Their drive is that they have shareholders to answer to, or owners to answer to, and they need to make money. That's it. It's not that they want to, yes, they want to make a good quality game, but it's really the bottom line dollar. So Disney stepping in and being like, well, you can't be doing this stuff. Well, go down to Disney World with your little Magic Card Express wristband that they give you now, where, you know, you just swipe that wristband and you buy whatever the hell you want. Oh, and they'll gladly take your money.
Disney's.
So, you know, though they look like the savior of trying to save the game, I mean, the reality is that, you know, they know how to make money.
Yes.
They don't build those parks off of nothing.
Yeah. Disney World is a master of two things: cattling people around, getting them, herding people around, and taking your money. Those wristbands too, the RFID trackers, so they know exactly where the hell you are. Oh, Jammer likes to go into this gift shop and look at this particular item, and you know, he walked by this and it's amazing.
They're not a stupid company. I mean, they clean the park overnight every night and make it look brand new. I mean, they know what they're doing. So obviously I'm glad they stepped in, but you know, they're not for the people. I mean, they give you a good experience and make it worth the money, but they like their money.
And they expect it to make X amount of dollars from this game, a lot of dollars from this game, and they're suffering.
Yes, yes. So last question, then we're going to wrap up. We've kind of made this the microtransactions type of a discussion, which initially wasn't even our plan. Just shows what happens when Johnny's here, because Johnny would just keep on going to the next topic and we'd be here for an hour and a half. Now that this has happened, is that Reddit thing that exploded, is that where we can point back to a year from now that was the change on gaming companies and publishers? Did this experience right here make them now say, whoa, we better back the hell off of the microtransaction and try a different avenue for revenue? Is this the changing point?
No.
Unobtained says no. Why no?
I don't know. I mean, there's been backlash, but if they can recover from it, if they keep in microtransactions in some form or another, and they can, you know, basically survive this negative PR to the point where it dwindles away out of the news, which it will eventually do as long as they don't keep you know, doing AMAs and keep stirring the pot, or whatever else, then it will eventually die down. And if they've got microtransactions in at that point, and if the game finishes out with them in it, then everyone else will just go, all the other developers and publishers and whatever else will just go, okay, so they did it wrong. How do we do it right? But I don't think it's been bad enough, considering all the times when it's made profit and hasn't gone this badly. I don't think there's enough here. It's not got enough of a stigma. Maybe for EA, maybe, but you know, they've got other games that have got these kind of models in already, and they've not done as badly again. So I don't think it's enough.
So you think it's more just the Star Wars user base being angry than the gamer?
No, not necessarily. I think maybe a lot of, because Star Wars is in the spotlight and you know, and the film's coming up and all the rest of it, and maybe this was a bit of camel broke the that's not how that goes. Straw that broke the camel's back. That's makes more sense as well. I don't know. I mean, yeah, no, maybe it is gamers as a whole, but I think they might still be angry, but I don't think they'll carry this anger and hate straight into the next game that does microtransactions. Maybe even they will, but it won't have the same legs to it, I don't think. Not unless another developer or publisher or whoever manages to screw it up as badly as they've done it with this title. But I think, you know, maybe they'll cool it, maybe they'll, I don't know, try and do something different, but I don't think microtransactions are dead just because of this.
Okay, Jack.
I really wish it would, because I like to see Reddit worth something other than for me to, you know, view porn on. I don't think that game companies want to sell games as a service, so they want your cash as long as they can get it from you. That's why they created DLC, these extra maps, but they know not every game can generate DLC map packs. You know, they may have them, but they won't make the $15, $20 that like Call of Duty can make. So they need to find that money in other ways, and they need to get you to continue playing for a full year or longer. So these they'll release a DLC for free. They're going to recoup the money somehow, and these microtransactions will just continue. I would love to see them go away, but we all know that's not going to happen.
All right, I'm doing a Johnny, and I'm lying because I'm going to go with one thing so Grex can yell at us for being too long. Would increasing the, we have not had a game increase in price point. They have super editions and all this shit now where, you know, some people paying, like Jack paid $100 for Call of Duty for that edition. Would making the standard price $70 for the game, would that make the difference to the gaming companies to slow down this by making an extra $10 on each sale?
They see the money that the microtransactions or the DLC earns, and they just can't stop. I would like to say that it would. Maybe some smaller, and I think this is where you need some smaller developers and some smaller publishers where they may accept that payment. But someone like EA or the larger ones, no, they want every single dollar they can get and then some.
So yeah, I mean,
people pay $15,000.
Yeah, I don't know the exact numbers. Like, you know, how much would they need to increase the base game retail price by for it to offset however much they could make through whatever microtransaction model they implemented? But I don't think necessarily microtransactions are here to stay. But I think something that ekes more money out over time is here to stay. So, you know, not just the base game retail price, not maybe DLC, but I don't think so. I think they're always going to try and do something where it's a little bit of money at a time, because just like with anything else like that, you know, just, you know, I hate to draw the parallel because it's not really the point I'm trying to make, but with gambling or something like that, if it's a small amount of money over a long period of time, you're less likely to notice it. And it's only when you sit down afterwards and calculate it back and go, wow, I spent all that money. Whereas if someone asked for 100 quid right up front, it seems like a lot, but a pound over 100 days doesn't seem like much, but they get the same amount of money out of it at the end. So, you know, they'd rather go with the model, like Jack said, where they can make more money from you. And I think that's just more likely what we're going to see.
All right, just something I want to throw out there, because, I mean, the reality is we haven't had a base game price increase for a long time. It's been a long, I mean, I don't remember the original Xbox games, what they went for, but 360 games were at $60. So it's been a long time since they've had a base price upgrade there and inflation. So it was just something to throw out there.
And
good.
Well, the only other thing with that is you look at some of these games that come out and the price drops they have. Like, I always laugh at people that buy Assassin's Creed the first day when you know by the time Thanksgiving comes around, it's half.
I played a lot of hours in that game, and it's pretty.
Yeah, you could have got it now for $35.
Yeah, but I've been playing a single-player game and able to ignore you, so it's well worth the money to me.
That's mean and hurtful. I thought Johnny was the mean host.
He's the diva. I'm the mean person. All right. Well, that was a good discussion. You know, you could go on forever talking about Reddit and microtransactions and all that. You really could have multiple shows over that. But thanks for having that discussion with me, guys. Our next show will be recorded on December 5th. Unbelievable that we're already almost to the end of the year and we're in the Christmas shopping season soon. And initially, we were going to talk about holiday shopping, but that went out the tank today. And I don't even know in the UK, like, if they have, like, we have Black Friday after Thanksgiving. I don't even, does that exist?
Yeah, weirdly, it does.
It does exist, even though you don't have Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering, actually, that was something when we were going to talk about holidays, about shopping. I was going to ask you about that. So I'm still curious about that. I didn't know if you did or not.
Yeah. No, I think it started off with, like, you know, maybe some of the bigger online retailers, but now thing to, you know, the flipping physical storefronts are having the sales, and it's weird. It's like they don't even know why they're having the sale, but they're having one anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, I could go into the tradition of why it's called Black Friday and all that, but we've been here long enough. Make sure you check out our Facebook page. You know, we're on there, facebook.com/GrimReaperGamers. Follow us on Twitter. We're not hateful on Twitter. Johnny generally doesn't touch it. So if Johnny did, then there would be a lot of anger going out there. That is grgamers.com. Spell out the dot, D-O-T. You know, follow us on Twitch. You can email us at reapercast@grimreapergamers.com and tell us how much better the show is without Johnny. Make sure you check out our main page, grimreapergamers.com. Pop in Discord and say hi to us. And people come in all the time and want us to interview for them to join our site. So we're not doing that. Fuck you people. Come make sure you visit the forums. And like we said, anytime you're looking to play anything, no matter what the fuck the game is, make a post up there. Odds are you're going to find somebody to play with you. So thanks guys for joining me this evening. I'm actually more awake since we were able to do it earlier. Thanks to Diva not being here, but Johnny hopefully will feel better and be back on the next show. And as he always says, don't game alone.